flip it, I did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm camping, it's prime. Get it and flip it, we did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm camping, it's prime.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back, man. This is Ball Don't Lie, episode 130, man. I can't believe we've done 130 of these. And it's actually another anniversary. This is actually me and you, our 50th episode together.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's the 50th episode of us since this podcast has been exclusively a basketball podcast. We held y'all niggas down all quarantine last year, too. We was the only niggas out here giving y'all niggas pods when there was no sports on. So y'all got to honor us doing this little 50 episode run, man. So we here, and the playoff brackets are set. I'm excited, man, even though this is – we're going to get into our thoughts about the regular season, but I'm excited for this playoffs, man. I think for the first time in NBA history, there's no clear-cut favorite. So I am pretty excited about that. But give y'all a little promo. You know where to follow us, man, at Barbershare Scott on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow Dante at October Zone Tate on Twitter. You can follow the brand, the Barbershare Network, on Twitter, at Barbershare Net on Twitter and Instagram, and patreon.com/Barbershare Network. You need to subscribe right now, because today we're only going to preview the play-in games. If you want our full playoff preview, we give you our round-by-round preview and who we think is going to be the NBA champion ahead of time, you got to subscribe. It's going to be on a $10 Barbershare All Access package. So that's patreon.com/Barbershare Network. I know y'all can call me a capitalist on a TL for putting it behind a Paul paywall, but you already know the vibes. So we're here. A lot of stuff to get into, man. We started off our little, you know, pre-show, you know, thing. When Dante has an egregious Eastern Conference Finals pick that we're going to get into later in the show.
All right. Okay.
But I want to start off with the shenanigans that are going on between Kwame Brown, or Stephen A. Smith say, Kwame Brown, and Matt Barnes, Steven Jackson, and Gilbert Arenas. So for those of you who don't know the backstory, on last week's All the Smoke, Gilbert Arenas was a guest, and I guess they were going in on Kwame Brown, calling him one of the biggest busts, whatever, and Kwame had enough. And I don't know about y'all, but I've never heard Kwame Brown talk in my entire fucking life. I didn't know that he sounded like a fucking gangster, bro. He sounded like a straight up Texas UGK ass nigga. He was talking like Bun B, bro. Like, I was just like,
he was talking crazy.
He was talking crazy shit. He was on IG Live for like an hour. He said, "How's a nigga with a finger wave gonna talk to me? Yo, bitch, fuck the your teammate." I was like, bro, he called Matt Barnes Becky with the good hair. He said that Steven Jackson was a fake activist. He won a game bang, but be Black Lives Matter at the same time.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. That shit was funny. He was like, he said, you got the Black Lives Matter activist and he a blood. So excuse me.
He called Gilbert Arenas the whitest black guy he's ever met.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know none of these niggas personally, so I ain't going to say what's true and what's false. But I mean, it was interesting, G. This shit came out of left field, like, especially because people are, like, Kwame Brown is one number one draft pick. He's up there with Ryan Leaf, like, as far as getting flamed all the fucking time. Like, it always happens. So it's like, I'm not shocked that he's finally had enough. And like, we talked about this on the pre-pod, and you said this is some bullshit, but like,
yeah, I don't have a problem with saying it's enough. But y'all talking about we got to qualify with Busta.
No, not qualify with Busta. But like, if it goes back to even when we always talk about rings culture, like calling these niggas like losers and X, Y, and Z, like it's not my fault that you put certain expectations on me. You feel me? Like, you said I was going to be X, Y, and Z. Just because I didn't do that, nigga, that ain't my fault.
Okay.
Like, that ain't my fault. You feel me? Is he the biggest bust of all? Yeah, definitely. No, well, no, Anthony Bennett is.
No, he's not the biggest bust of all. Yeah,
Anthony Bennett is. But I mean, he pretty much deserves all of this flack he gets. I haven't watched All the Smoke, so I didn't see what all they said about him to make him get this upset.
I didn't see the pod either. I just saw what people said that he got upset about. And yes, from if you want to go from the technical aspect, okay, yes, no NBA player is trash. The weekend, we just saw Brian Scalabrine give some nigga LA Fitness buckets a couple weeks ago on Twitter. All these niggas are elite athletes. But with that shit being said, when you compare them to other elite athletes, yeah, them niggas are bust. It is what it is. The game is the game. Yes, he's a multi-millionaire. Kwame Brown ain't gonna have to want for shit for the rest of his life. He's got money. He's fine. But the nigga was trash. And by the way, we slander Michael Jordan as much as we slander Kwame Brown for drafting this nigga. And you say, yeah, the expectations was different.
But no, he made a good point, though. He was like, people don't realize Mike drafted him and wanted to trade him for Elton Brand.
Oh, okay.
Like you know, so Mike, which goes back to my Charlotte shit that we'll get to later. You know, Mike ain't as bad as, you know.
Come on now. Look, I'm not giving Mike too much credit for this, okay?
You got to.
A blind man could have saw it's time to draft LaMelo.
It's the other moves he made too, but back to this nigga Kwame Brown. Gee, like I agree with Stack when he said like you trying to get hot off us. So it's like what's the purpose of releasing this shit right now? And another thing, speaking of Kwame Brown, you grown niggas got to stop smoking hookah on camera.
Nigga, thank you.
Like this. No, shit
you
is
grown niggas need to stop smoking hookah. Fuck on camera.
Stop smoking hookah. Put the hookah down, bro.
It's terrible, bro. It's just like I smoked hookah my first 2 months in LA, and I had to look myself in the mirror and ask myself, what the fuck was I doing?
Nah, G.
Like, you a grown ass man with bills, my nigga. Like, what are you doing?
Pick a blunt up, nigga. What the fuck is you doing?
I just thought that was funny. We're not gonna focus too much time on it. We got a lot of shit to get in on this as a packed pod. I'm gonna keep plugging it, man. Patreon.com/Barbershop Network. If you want to listen to the playoff preview that will drop before the playoffs kick off on Saturday, listen to that. Listen to it. So subscribe. But last night was the Basketball Hall of Fame enshrinement, man. Of course, the late great Kobe Bryant went in. Beautiful speech by his wife Vanessa. Tim Duncan, the greatest power forward of all time, he got inducted last night. Also, Big Lord Kevin Garnett got inducted. By the way, one of my top five favorite Hall of Fame speeches ever. He thanked the travelers on air. You a true blue Chicago nigga. You know exactly what time it was when he said that. I was waiting for him to give the Vice Lord a shout out. I didn't know what it was gonna be like.
What capacity?
But he said it so smooth. He was like, yeah, I'd like to thank Chicago for adopting me. You know, Farragut, Ronnie Fields, Georgia's Music Room, all the travelers, you know, South Side.
Like, niggas, we got like a little small sign or something, but he just went. He went full on. So I'm like, okay.
And even better was the leaked footage from his upcoming documentary that's dropping in July. Where he has video of him asking Isaiah Thomas to induct him. And Isaiah, whose middle name is Lord, by the way, this is not a Twitter joke, it's Isaiah Lord Thomas, the most West Side name I ever heard in my fucking life. Yeah. He's like, yo, I would love for you to induct me on some West Side shit. And Zeke did the two hands across the chest. All y'all know, that's Lord shit. My whole mother side of my family is from out West. My great uncle was vice president of Lords. I'm very in tune with what
well
that
versed.
Side does. Real verse. Whatever. I sent that video to my mother. She's like, I know that's right. So that shit had me fucking dying laughing.
That's the thing about old heads in Chicago. They still respect, like, because they know what the game started for originally. So
it originally started.
They have a whole different vibe when they come to it. So like my uncle the same way. That nigga still be wearing the little medallions and shit, so like I know exactly what you mean, bro.
So you know that was cool, man. But so basically the whole enshrinement, man. Rudy Tomjanovich got inducted. He had a great speech. You know, he lied about Robert Horry should be in the Hall of Fame. He still got some after effects from that punch, obviously. There was a couple other coaches in there who I didn't really know. Who was the coach from LSU? What was her name?
Kim Mulkey?
Yeah, she was up there talking like fucking Whitley Gilbert.
But now she's a legend because she was a legendary player too. She played for Louisiana Tech.
Michael Jordan inducted two people last night. He inducted her and Kobe Bryant. I will say that the speech tonight, obviously Vanessa Bryant is a strong woman.
Yeah.
Strong woman. I don't know how she went up there. I can't imagine the stuff she's going through with just from the last year. And Kobe was such a big figure, man. It's not like, you know, everywhere you go, you can't, especially she lives in Los Angeles still. Everywhere you go, on every corner. When I came back to LA 2 weeks ago, when I came back from Chicago, my Uber from LAX, I shit you not, I saw like four fucking Kobe murals on the way to my house.
Yeah.
So his image is everywhere. So I know it's a lot. And of course, you know, when you look at your kids, you see them, you know, and got to give us some strength from that, man, how she got through that without crying. I didn't. I for sure didn't get through with it. I'm glad I live by myself because I was boohooing like a little bitch over here. I'm not going to hold you. And I saw Mike. Mike, like, he's about to tear up a little bit too, man. But it was a great speech. She looked gorgeous. I got to give it to him, man. Salute to Vanessa Bryant.
Yeah, bro. It was definitely dope. Like, once again, like you said, like, it's a daily thing when you look up and like, damn, Jacoby really gone. And like, for us to feel like that as fans, we can only imagine what she goes through on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Like you said, like, even like you said, especially with the mural, because I remember when he first passed away, she had put up a post and asked people to stop tagging her and shit, you know, and like her and Athalia had to block all of the mural sites, all the fan accounts, because, you know, everybody was just, you know, and I understand, like, we know, you know, people trying to show love, like, the intent is good, but like,
you don't want to see all that shit.
Right. You just literally lost, like she said, the love of her life, the man she was with, and she was 19 years old. And, you know, that's, you have to relive that on a daily basis when you already live in the same house that you all, you know, lived in together for however so long. You got two baby girls along with your oldest daughter. So to lose all of that, and then, like you said, you know, being in LA, so every time, I'm sure every time they in the whip, you look around, it's a mural somewhere of Kobe and Gigi. And so it's just a lot. But like you said, she showed a lot of strength yesterday, gave an amazing speech, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, she really hit the nail on the head. Like, you know, she just thanked Kobe, you know what I'm saying? Because she was like, he's not here and we don't have a speech. You know, I would miss people. I like the fact that she said that. She was like, if I sat here and tried to name names, individuals, I would miss somebody. So she was like, I'm just thanking everybody. And so, you know what I'm saying? It was a really dope ceremony, man. Like you said, Tim Duncan and KG, I think it's dope that they went in together because they were definitely the two power fours of their generation. And it was an amazing ceremony. Shout out to Mike Wilbon, Chicago legend.
Shout out
to
Mike Wilbon. Even though I never looked at Wilbon the same after those Sean Taylor comments, but I still have to give credit where credit is due. He's one of the originators, man.
I was going to say, he said some wild shit. Even like this week, I was listening to this another podcast, the American Prodigy podcast about Ken Griffey Jr. And when he went from Seattle to Cincinnati, you know, he said he did it for his family. And Mike Wilbon wrote a wild ass article saying, like, that was some, basically saying that was some bullshit. And so, like, you know, that's just
I mean, but that's cool. But what he said about Sean Taylor was foul, bro. Like, about his killing and shit like that. Yeah. That shit was foul. But despite that, you got to give credit to him for, he's one of the originators. PTI, nigga, when I was a kid, there was like a block of shows I always watched. It would be Rap City, 106 and Park. And there would be Around the Horn, PTI, Sports Center, nigga. Yep. Like, this before sports was 24/7 coverage. Like, you had to watch these shows and know what was going on in the sports world, man. So you got to give it a shout out to him and Tony Kornheiser, man. And he's Chicago, nigga, went to Simeon.
Because you're going to say your favorite debate show is based off PTI.
Yeah.
And, like, people don't realize that. Like, nigga, this is back when First Take was Cold Pizza. And it was like,
a lot of niggas don't remember that.
It was basically Get Up and First Take combined. Like, they would cut off to little segments where they would debate. But it was, you know, basically a news show. And so, you know, Mike Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser really changed the game. And so, you know, shout out to them. And that was really dope. And it's a dope class coming in next year. I don't know if you saw it, G, today.
Yeah, got it right here. That's a good segue.
C-Web and fucking Jalen Rose, G.
One last comment on the 2020 class. Tim Duncan, Chicago Bears fan, is in the Hall of Fame. Him being a Bears fan is the most random shit of all time. And also, he was high all weekend. Shout out to him.
Hey, he was good guys.
That nigga was high.
My type of guy.
The 2021 class, man, Ben Wallace finally gotten in. Anybody remembers Ben Wallace? Ben Wallace shut down Shaq multiple times. I think he was a four-time defensive player of the year. Three or four time defensive player of the year. And if you are a fan in that era, you remember, shout out the Pistons announcer back in the day, Mason. You remember the call. We're at number three from Virginia Union University. Ben Wallace. One of the hardest fucking calls ever, dog. You got to give it to Ben Wallace. He's going in the hall. The truth, Paul Pierce, going in the Hall of Fame. I know niggas make their little Twitter jokes. Paul Pierce was that man. Let's not get it fucked up.
He was indeed.
Paul Pierce was that man. We got C Web. Everybody know, follow me. You know this is a Chris Webber hate account. But
not the Hooper. Can't hate the Hooper.
I was never a Chris Webber fan, even when he went. I'm talking about I never.
I love the Lakers. You know what I'm saying? We both Kobe fans, so I love the Lakers, G. But
that had a lot to do with it because I was a Kobe guy. I was Kobe and Shaq guy.
Walking 2010-5, G, from the fourth spot. He was a fucking dog.
Like, but he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, whether I don't like the guy. And then when I found out he was a hoe-ass nigga in real life, just whatever. Yeah. Anyway, and then Chris Bosh, all you niggas who said the Heat wasn't a super team, kiss my ass. Chris Bosh is in the fucking Hall of Fame. And, of course, my man's Tony Kukoc. By the way, Kukoc is going in the international wing. Because he won 11 championships. He's responsible for 11 championships, including the three he won with the Bulls. So this is mainly for his international career, not really his NBA career. I don't even think he made an all-star team in the NBA. But Tony Kukoc is going to the Hall of Fame. Now, you want to talk about the C-Web, Jalen Rose interaction we saw on ESPN today.
Yeah. Even before I say that, though, another Chicago connection next year. Yolanda Griffin is going in.
WNBA got the
player, U.S. Olympian. So shout out to her, the crib, you know, like it seems like every year, you know, we talk about, you know, New York is, you know, the mecca of basketball. But I think Chicago is definitely right up there. It's like it's really becoming more and more like a 1A type situation as history continues to unfold. But they interviewed Chris Webber on the halftime show, and Jalen Rose was actually the one that got to talk to him. And we all know the backstory behind that. They got into it, you know, over the it was the booster, correct, who brought them in with the 5-5, you know.
Yeah, that's actually how they fell out.
Yeah, they fell out over the, you know, it was, you know, Jalen said and pretty much said what it was, and then Chris Webber, you know, pretty much threw bro under the bus, you know. And so Jalen didn't like that because, you know, he did a lot for them. But to see them actually, you know, talking to each other, you know, saying they love each other, you know, the connections between their families, because Jalen Rose's mother did a lot for Chris Webber.
Yeah.
You know, they both from Detroit. You know, she made sure that they were both, you know, playing on the same squad and, you know, getting to practice and all of that. And so it was really dope to see them. I'm not even going to say that was a full reconciliation because we don't know the conversation they had behind closed doors. But even just seeing them talk to each other on TV, G, that was dope as fuck, because that's a part of our childhood. We all remember the 5-5. Like, those are some of our first basketball memories. And, you know, to have them fall out and, you know, have these disagreements, and now that, you know, to see that there is some, you know, some hope for, you know, a reconciliation. Hopefully, shit, we can see them. I know they already did a 5-5 doc, but, you know, we could get a podcast or something where, you know, they all sit down and break shit down, especially with Juwan doing everything he's doing at Michigan right now.
I would love to see Chris Webber, because it's not Jalen. Jalen's been reaching his hand out multiple times. Jalen Rose, one of the realest niggas of all time, by the way. I just want to keep pointing that out.
Oh, yeah, big facts.
Jalen Rose.
And underrated, too.
Underrated. One of my favorite Bulls, even though he wasn't here that long. Jalen Rose, one of my favorite Bulls. Real nigga from Detroit. Chris Webber, man. I just like to see friends. They have too much history to fall out. And I want Chris Webber to mend that fence, because it's not none of the other Fab Five.
Absolutely.
Who have any problem with C-Web. It's C-Web having a problem. So it was good to see, you know, the feed was a little delayed. So when Jalen said, I love you, I was like, is he going to say it back, nigga? Like, come on.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they said that. So it was a beautiful moment to see right there, man.
I also think he was fighting back tears. Like, you could tell.
Chris
Webber was visibly emotional about it. Like, yes. So that was dope.
So it was good to see that. But I am happy to hear that I won't have to hear this nigga call games this playoffs. So yes. I got to give a round of applause for that shit. Now the only nigga. And that's the thing that by Chris Webber is weird. Chris Webber's a good in-studio analyst.
Uh-huh.
But when it comes to calling games, no. He's a basketball A-Rod.
No, you're absolutely right. It's just like, it's now the next step. We got to drag Marv Albert's ass to the retirement home.
Oh, he's retiring this year.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we getting closer and closer.
He's a legend, but it's
been time, bro. He be He be, you know, mispronouncing people's name, mistaking players for other people. He been fucking up for years.
Yeah, well, that he was doing his neo-funk shit. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, out of there.
I want to give a shout-out to Adam Amin, by the way, his first 4 years as a Bulls color commentator. Him and Stacey King were very fun. I was so anti-neo-funk for a long time. I didn't like those little shots he would throw at D-Rose, but shout out to him. I know it was just random shout out, but yeah, shout out to that nigga, man. But yeah, man, it was good to see C-Web. But we're at the point now at our age, man, where everybody goes in the Hall of Fame now, people we watch their whole careers. And I don't know how to really accept that yet.
I'm good with it, bro. I mean, it just means it's just further proof. You know, we talk about how, as you know, the older millennials, we lived through so much and seen some of the greatest shit, some of the best advancements as far as technology, but it goes to sports too.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen the games really change and evolve. Like, you know, we love baseball. Looking at watch a baseball game, you know, from like 1998 or some shit.
So different.
And then
so
watch different. A game now. It's damn near two different games.
And you bring a good comparison, Bill, because you know how everybody said, oh, the NBA plays no defense, it's 3-point heavy league. If you look at it in baseball too, baseball is no longer the game of your starters go seven innings. It's very much a bullpen league now. If you don't have a good, great bullpen, good bullpen, you ain't got no fucking shot. You know what I'm saying? The way analytics has changed the game, man. So, yeah, I definitely agree with that. But let's talk about the actual season. 72-game season is in the books. Before I give my opinion on it, I want to give you the floor. What did you think about this season in a whole? Did you enjoy it? What did you think about it?
I think overall, you know, it's just further proof. Like, if you are like a truly step back and just look at it from a fan perspective, the league is in good hands. I think the condensed season, we can't do this anymore. We've way too many injuries. You have too many guys playing, you know, 4 games in 5 nights, 5 and 6, shit like that. Even when you break down the travel schedule by having them play the back to back, something like that, I think that was just too much. But overall, I think you have a nice collection of young talent. I know people were hard on the rookies the first, you know, first few weeks of the season. I remember we both said, you know, give them 25 games, you know, see what happens. And then you saw Melo Ball, you saw Anthony Edwards, you saw them all blossom. You saw Halliburton, you saw these rookies having big roles on their teams. And so that coupled with, you know, Kyrie going 50, 40, 90, you know what I'm saying? Everything that unfolded in Brooklyn, them having bringing Harden in, you know, Embiid in Philly, you know, it was a great season. Even with the Utah Jazz, you know, shocking everybody, you feel me, and just coming out of nowhere. So, I think overall, I really enjoyed the season. I know we talked about how, you know, bad the product was at the beginning, and how there, you know, there has been a shift away from playing defense, but then that's what made it so fun, and I never thought I would say something like this, but it was so fun to watch teams like the Knicks play, because you just saw a team give you all-out effort from all five players on the floor on a defensive standpoint, and just a team like that, or like Milwaukee adding P.J. Tucker, and just seeing, you know, the way they're really playing chess, because, you know, a lot of times during the season, the Bucks didn't really give you everything they had on the defensive side as far as the sets and the things that they run, especially against playoff teams. You would see them run real vanilla defenses and things like that. So that's just got me excited for the playoffs, because, you know, you add a piece like P.J. Tucker with Giannis and Drew, and they're going to be able to lock people down. So that's going to be interesting. So overall, I enjoyed the season, and I think, you know, this last week is really set up for a really exciting playoffs.
I am definitely very excited for the playoffs. I think the last 2 weeks of the season were pretty entertaining with all the different – you know, jostling for position with seeding and shit like that. And I do think individual talent wise, this is the most individual talent the league has ever had. I mean, we're seeing a new era of players, you know, right before our eyes, you know, Luka and LaMelo and Zion and guys like that, like the LeBron, Curry, KD era is slowly coming to a close. You know what I'm saying? Like, even guys like Kyrie, these are old heads now. You know what I'm saying? So I think it was cool to see the mixing of eras. But from a product standpoint, I don't really like how this regular season was. I think it was by far the most boring regular season I've seen in a long time. And I think it was a condensed season. I feel like the season was rushed. I mean, the season ended with like a week or two before the World Series ended. Like, it was, I think the Lakers won a championship on like October 11th or some shit like that. And not even 2 months later, these niggas back in training camp. I feel like it was rushed. It was too many back-to-backs. We saw a shit ton of injuries. Like LeBron missed almost 25 games. Anthony Davis missed like 3 fucking months. The big three in Brooklyn only played 8 games together. I mean, it was so many. And those, you know, people losing games from COVID. I mean, basically the Bulls playing chances got derailed when Zach LaVine was out for 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Because the COVID program. So those, and then there was really no crowds to really like the last month and a half. So combined all together and just the defense was disgusting. Like it was, I did not enjoy this regular season, but I do think all these things kind of made up and makes it this upcoming playoffs so much interesting because if you look at some of these brackets, if you look at these playing games, I don't really see a boring series or game coming up. You know what I'm saying? And then also, due to the injuries, you can't for sure say, oh, I'm 100% sure, I'm 95% sure this team's going to win a championship. I think this is the most up for grabs this ever been. You know what I'm saying? The Lakers have concerns with their injuries. The Nets have, you know, concerns with not playing together. They play 8 fucking games together. You know what I'm saying? Is Giannis going to finally be that guy in the playoffs? Philly has number one seed. What's Phoenix and Utah going to do? They got the top 2 seeds. So there's so many different storylines going on. Are the Clippers going to finally shut everybody up? There's so many storylines I'm looking forward to getting to. If I have to grade the actual regular season itself, I'm going to give it a D. I didn't enjoy the regular season, but I do think these playoffs are going to be, or as Stephen A. says, box office. I think these playoffs are going to be box office. I'm excited to look at that. One of the stories of this regular season was Russell Westbrook, man. Russell Westbrook for the fourth time in 5 years, because he didn't average triple-double last year. Fourth time in 5 years, averaging a triple-double. He surpassed Oscar Robertson for the most triple-doubles in NBA history. And he's still going, by the way. And led this team. The fucking Washington Wizards was so goddamn bad the first half of this season. Russell Westbrook himself was pretty bad the first half of this season. Like, people like, oh, Russ fell off, you know, what's going on here? People, and then there was even talked about trading Bradley Beal at the deadline. There was a lot of different things to go. So for him to get this team not only in the play-in, and granted, they were still 5 games under 500. They were 33-38. Yeah, but making the play-in and putting themselves in this position, them averaging a triple-double. Remember a couple years ago, we was like, oh, I don't think we'll ever see one guy average a triple-double for a fucking year. I even remember this old clip from, like, NBA TV from, like, 10, 12 years ago where they were interviewing LeBron, Magic, Jason Kidd, and it was, oh, never going to happen. Never going to happen. Not only did Russ do it once, this nigga did it 4 fucking times, man. I think – and I love Russ. By the way, I'm a Russell Westbrook fan. I do slander him a lot because he does a lot of bonehead shit. As entertaining and as great of a basketball player as Russell Westbrook is, I think his basketball IQ is very fucking low, especially in the fucking playoffs. But my question for you is, how do we look at Russell Westbrook's career? Like, when it's all over, how do we look at his career even if he doesn't win a championship? Like, how would you look at it?
I mean, I think honestly, the question in itself is a part of a bigger issue because he got years left. So, like, I think with Russ, he's obviously, you know, one of the most physically gifted point guards we've ever seen, one of the most explosive, you know, one of the best. Damn, it's crazy because it's like, I don't know how I rank Russell as a scorer because, you know, he has
weird. Yeah.
He has those nights where he'll give you 12 or 13, but then he'll have 13 assists with 15 rebounds. So it's like, okay, it wasn't that bad of a night. So, but I think, you know, obviously, you know, in my opinion, the best rebounding point guard of all time, just the way he crashes. I know we talk about, you know, stealing rebounds from your teammates and all of that. You can call it what you want, but I mean, at this point, he's the best rebounder point guard ever. But I think he'll just go down as one of those players in the same vein as AI, in the sense that, you know, AI was such a dynamic scorer, and that's really what we talk about when we talk about AI, outside of his cultural impact on the game and shit like that. We could talk about that with Russ as far as the fashion and all that, but that's just new niggas in general. But as a whole, just from his game and remember how his game will be remembered. I still think it's too early to ask that question, but I think
if you want, from what we've seen so far, he's easily one of the best point guards we've ever seen. And I think the ring, that won't matter. Because, I mean, like, when you look at the greatest point guards of all time outside of, Magic and Steph, when you look at John Stockton, he don't have a ring. Jay Kidd got his ring at the end of his career with Dallas. Gary Payton got his ring at the end of his career with Miami. So, I mean, that won't affect his legacy that much. I think when you still go back and look at Russell Westbrook and the fact that this man averaged, I think as time passes and no one else does it, that's when people will really be like, okay, wait a minute, this man averaged a triple-double 4 times in 5 years. Like, that's some next-level shit.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I think it's a little early. I don't know where the fuck you would go to get a championship. Now, of course, he could probably, piggyback one. I can see that happening. But let's just say, I'm just going to say hypothetically, the more likely scenario he doesn't win a championship. I think you can just look at him as one of the most fierce competitors of all time. You know what I'm saying? Like, while I don't really like the word rings culture, because I do feel like rings matter a lot. In the words of Herm Edwards, you play to win the fucking game. But I'm not in the camp of people who thinks that rings makes you a great player. I think rings puts you in a conversation. Like, if you have a discussion about great players, that can be the equalizer between you and another great player. That's in the court that I'm in. But I'm not in the court of people who think just because you ain't got a ring that you wasn't great. Charles Barkley, one of the greatest fucking power forwards of all time. Patrick Ewing, one of the greatest centers of all time. You know what I'm saying? So I think Russell Westbrook, if he doesn't win a championship, will go down as one of the best competitors of all time, one of the best players of all time. Like, I don't know where you would rank him point guard wise, or because, I still would have Magic over him. I still have Isaiah Thomas over him. I still have Steph Curry and Chris Paul over him. But he's in the conversation. And I'm a Jason Kidd guy, so just my bias, I would have Jay Kidd over him. Jay Kidd led 2 teams to the finals. So, but he's in the conversation. I think we're going to look at Russ very fondly. You know what I'm saying? And, Russ is a guy, no matter what you want to say about him, he's going to show up. There's never one time you can say Russ ever quit or was lazy or half-assed the game. And I think that's something that's really going to, work in his favor. And just 4 triples-doubles is like, look how we talk about it now, bro. Like, I tweeted when it happened this week, like, let's not put this under the radar. Like, this is some shit that we're never going to see again. Like, not one time. 4 times, my nigga. It's fucking ridiculous. He might have done it 5 if he didn't get hurt last year. So I think that's something we need to put into appreciation, man. I think that's going to be – he's missed a triple-double from here and now. And I don't have to hear about Oscar Robertson no more because he's a salty old nigga.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like what Chris Webber said when he talked about them watching – him and Jalen watching Magic and doing things that they usually wouldn't let people of their height do. The game is just evolving and growing. And so as that continues to happen, you're going to see more records fall. So that's why, like, even when you say it'll never happen again, I never say never, because it's this, especially now you look at this draft, the number one prospect is this, 6'9" point guard. So the game is really changing. And we're going to get to a point where we are playing positions of basketball and, like, everybody on the court is going to be like 6'5" and up. And, like, so I think, like you said, with Russ, and we need to just take a. I think we need to just take a step back and really appreciate everything he's done. And, like, and when we don't do that, that's when you end up looking over shit. And because we always want to find, I feel like we always looking for the next great thing, the next big thing, the next thing to grab our attention. And so people that really just swept this under the rug. It's kind of like how this year when we were all talking about LaMelo and just really just threw Zion to the side, and he had an amazing year. Like any other year, he's one of the players they would have been talking about, or if the media was completely unbiased and we really just cover people based on what's going on and their success rate and how they're playing, Zion would have been all over the fucking every show. But he wasn't, because that's just not how we do our content these days.
Well, I think Zion wasn't all over the show because Luka. Little Luka is the great white hope. I love Luka. I'm a huge Luka fan. But we as a people, we need to be thankful that Luka ain't from some state like Missouri or some shit, or Iowa. Oh,
right. Boy. I didn't know he had that many technical fouls this year.
Oh, he be crying.
I know he complains a lot. Like he complained like a soccer player. Yeah. But
I didn't know he had that many texts.
And I'm glad he acknowledged it too. He's like, yeah, I gotta stop fucking crying. But yeah, we lucky he not from like middle America, nigga. You would get tired of the Luka coverage. But let's move on to a team that we root for, the Chicago Bulls. Chicago Bulls finished this year with 31 wins, 31-41 record. They actually finished one game better than I predicted. I predicted 30 wins. I did have them in the play-in. I would give this record this year, I would give this I would give it a B minus. I know I'm in the minority here. I see a lot of Bulls fans distraught over winning this pointless game against Milwaukee. Because it slightly decreases our lottery odds. And this is why that's kind of funny to me, because to me, they got a great start on the offseason when they traded for Nikola Vucevic. I think that was a great trade. You got your core right now of Zach and Vooch and, you know, Patrick Williams. You know what I'm saying? You got two all-stars. And not only that, what do we say coming to the season? We need to see just if any of these guard packs picks were good. Because we didn't fucking know. We didn't know because there was so much bad management. We had terrible coaching. Then we just had to see what these guys were. And now we know the answer to that. We know which one of these niggas is trash and which ones aren't coming back this year. And I do believe when they did the trade, of course, this was a shorter season. There was only like 30 games left. It took a while for Vooch and Zach to get into a rhythm. Once they finally got into a little rhythm, Zach went on the COVID list, 14 days out, which means I think he missed like 10 games. We had an under 500 record and him being out. And that pretty much killed any chance of them making a play-in. But the reason I still give them a C minus is because they won the pretty much number of games I thought they would win. You got two all-stars now. You've got a decent amount of cap, and there's a good thread that I retweeted about the Bulls cap situation that I'm actually going to go over quickly, right? I'm not going to go over the whole thread because it's a lot of fucking tweets, but just so you'll get a general idea of where the Bulls cap situation is. The Bulls are projected to have $24 million in functional cap space this summer, $16.5 million if they guarantee Thad's contract. Important note, if they jump into the top four of the lottery, that would take up an additional $6 to $8 million of that. So basically, they're going to have a decent amount of money to spend on this offseason. And really, to me, the two things they need to get is a point guard and get them a defensive wing who can shoot. They get that. I think this team could be right in the fucking mix, because now you're going to have a full training camp. You're going to have a full season with two all-stars, man. And I thought Billy Donovan, for what it's worth, I think he coached a pretty decent season. You know, even with the play-in, they weren't even mathematically eliminated till last night. So they were in the race, even with Zach missing all that time to the last day. So, man, I give it to him. I'm excited about the future of this team. I think that the bar for next year for me in the 82-game season, anything less than 42 wins and a playoff appearance is a disappointment to me. So that's where I'm at right now. And I really don't, if they get a top four pick, that's awesome. If they don't, I don't care, bro. I think Chicago sports fans have this weird obsession with salary cap and draft picks. I just want to understand. You're going to be drafting players to hope they're as good as Zach and Vooch. So you need to build around them. See what the Knicks did this year. And we've got, I think the Knicks are better defensively, obviously. When it comes to scoring, I like Vooch and Zach over really anybody over that roster. You know, I'm not the biggest Julius Randle fan. I'm sorry. Even though he had a great year this year, I'm still not the biggest fan of Julius Randle. That's what I would take with that. So I'll give the Bulls a C minus, man. B minus. I'm excited about the future.
I'll give him a C. I mean, a C with it, you know, to be continued. I think more than anything, you know, everybody's so mad about the draft pick. I think they've just told you we don't really give a fuck about the draft. They already told you they aren't rebuilding, they're retooling. So they're giving that draft pick away. I really think they're gonna go hard after Lonzo Ball in the offseason, you know, adding a point guard, because that's what you really need, somebody who can facilitate, because the whole Kobe White point guard experiment has failed. You know, you need to really allow him to just flourish in that role as a scorer. And so with that, with Zach, you got Zach and you got Vooch for two more years under control. I think with Zach, you know, he came out and said he would, he doesn't have to have a max. He was like, if the Bulls are going to put, you know,
better players around him. So I'll be interested to see what that means. I think that's that definitely will play in well when it comes to trying to sign a guy like Lonzo Ball. And so I think that's going to be dope to see what they do going forward. And yeah, on some six-man shit, I really wouldn't mind seeing them bring Derrick Rose back. And I know we talk about that all the time, but now it's a situation where, from a basketball standpoint, it actually makes
bring
a lot of sense.
Bring him back. The question is, though, does Derrick want to come back? I think Derrick likes New York. I think Derrick likes the Knicks. And also, it's very hard for a hometown person to play in their city. Not only that, somebody as big as Derrick Rose, because no matter how much we look at Derrick differently, he's a hometown hero. He won the MVP for us. He's the second best Bulls player of all time behind the GOAT. Yes, I put him over Scottie Pippen. I don't give a shit.
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't give. Scottie's a better defender, but that's it. You know what I'm saying? So does he want to come back? Does he want to play a six-man role on a team that he was the guy and won MVP? I don't know. Now, he says he has a great relationship with the Reinsdorf still, which is funny because fans hate the Reinsdorfs, but every player loves the Reinsdorf. Like, White Sox and Bulls player love the Reinsdorf. It's weird.
And I'm glad you said that, but let me say this. It's easy for us as fans who are just sitting here nitpicking at everything to be hella negative about owners. But at the end of the day, they made these motherfuckers millionaires.
Right,
like,
right.
They have every reason to keep a relationship with these people. Yeah. So I'm not shocked when they be like, oh, no, he cool with me. Like, even after D-Wade left the Bulls, he was like, no, the Reinsdorf showed me love. Like, he said, I didn't have no issues. So, yeah. I mean, shit like that don't shock me, G. But, no, I think as far as when you asked about him, you know, accepting his role as a sixth man, I think that's something he did. And he's just cool with that, period. Because, like,
even on the team he was the guy on.
Yeah, he talked about that in his book. He was like, knowing, you know, what he can and can't do now, it's helped him, you know, just be a better player, because he's like, he doesn't have to put that same stress on his body and do everything he had to do. Like, a lot of the stuff he did with the Bulls was out of necessity. Like, we love seeing it, and, like, we saw it when we saw him at AAU games, but, like, you know, when he played at Simeon, bro was a facilitator. He wasn't going, and he would have games where he went crazy.
He had games where he went crazy. Yo, man,
he definitely had games where he went crazy, but, like, he was really, you know, he was really just more of a you pure just play point, run point, do his thing.
That 2002 to 2007 era Chicago high school hoops was a moment in time, bro.
Insane.
D Rose, Pat Bev, Sharon Collins. I mean, nigga, what can I say? It was a great time. Like, and being in high school during that time, and I would see these niggas when they would come lambast my team. Well, I didn't play basketball, obviously, but, like, my school, the Kerry Condor, D Rose would come. It'd be niggas would love. I remember we went to the UIC Pavilion to watch D Rose versus Oak Hill. Oak Hill and them guys over there. So that was fun to see. But I would love to see Derrick back on this team. I feel like it would be a great redemption story. I think all the people who were upset at him are over it. And next year, of course, the United Center is going to be 100% capacity. You can imagine that ovation to have him back in that uniform.
I mean, he's awesome. Hooping, bro. He's hooping.
He's having, to me, I know the story with the New York Knicks is Julius Randle and Tibbs. Man, since he got there, that's when they really took off.
Yeah, that's
like, the Knicks were decent. Like, they were floating around 500. When they got Derrick Rose, that's when the fuck they took off, man. So we got to put some respect on a GD MVP's name, okay?
Let that man hit a game winner in the Garden. I don't care if it's 7,500 niggas in there. It's going to sound like it's 30,000 people in there, bro. It's going to explode. But yeah, no, back to the Bulls, G. I think, you know, they're poised to really make moves in free agency. And I think people around the league see the aggressiveness. They see, you know, bringing in Vooch. You got Zach. So you can say you have two all-stars there. So, I mean, we haven't heard too many talks of any, you know, disgruntled superstars. You know, everybody's been leaking the rumors about, oh, the Knicks may finally get a superstar and shit like that. But
I don't even know the Knicks cap situation, because I know they're going to have to pay Julius.
I think everything is still really, really flexible right now. So the Bulls are in a really good position. They're in that spot similar to where the Nets were. Even though that's the thing, we haven't even made the playoffs yet. But the fact that you have two all-stars and people really rock with Zach and they know what Vooch can do. And I think that's gonna really play well come come free agency. And so like I said, D Rose, that's more of a dream type thing. But if they can get Lonzo Ball to come run the point,
I think Lonzo's the number one target.
Yeah, I think he has to be.
What would you think about Kyle Lowry?
It depends on how much
money. For a short year, a little 2-year deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's like 2 years, 24 mil, something like that.
Yeah. That's if you strike out on Lonzo and Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah, but I like Brogdon a lot because of the versatility. Brogdon, like, he's a point guard, but he can get you buckets when you need him to get a bucket.
Right.
And he also plays defense. So, like, whoever we bring in, I think that's also going to have to be key because Zach gives effort now on defense, and he has improved in that standpoint. But he's not a defender, so you need somebody that can lock the fuck up, in my opinion.
The Cristiano Felicio era is officially over. His contract is officially over, thank God. One of the worst contracts in Chicago sports history.
What the fuck were they thinking?
Nigga, like, I have no fucking idea.
One day I looked at the deal and I was like, "Time, oh no, this has to be like a typo." Nigga, I refreshed my computer. Yeah. I'm like, "Nah, this shit is not real." And they paid that man that much fucking money.
Shout out to Felicio's agent. He got every dollar. You know what I'm saying?
He don't even play, G.
He played today. That nigga played 20 minutes. They tried their best to lose that game. Nigga, fucking Dotson was playing heavy minutes. Nigga, they tried to lose that game, but. If you look at this whole roster, Lauri Markkanen era is 9 times out of 10 over. Thank you, Jesus. The only niggas who are guaranteed to be here next year are Zach LaVine, Nikola Vucevic, and Patrick Williams. I think Kobe White is the 85-90% chance to be back. I think he really redeemed himself the last couple weeks of the season. And I still think coming off the bench, he's a good scorer. Everybody else gone. I would like to see Daniel Tice come back. I wouldn't be mad at Thad coming back either. I really like Troy Brown Jr. I think Troy Brown Jr. makes Garrett Temple's return not likely. But there were some vets that I want to see back. We need defense, we need a point guard, and we need some shooters. And I got all the faith in the world in Arturas Karnisovas and Mark Eversley to get this done, man. So I think it's going to be interesting offseason for them. Let's get into our regular season awards. Now, granted, none of these awards going to be announced at the end of the fucking season. Like, they're literally the end of the fucking playoffs, which is the dumbest shit on planet Earth. By the time the season's over, we all think about the draft and free agency, NFL's coming up. Niggas don't give a fuck who won MVP at that time. Like, we'd go back to the days where you held the MVP trophy up, you know, in front of your crowd, you know, doing a big playoff game. You know what I'm saying? If your team didn't make it, you get clowned like Dirk did when he was via satellite. So we need that type of shit back, man. But, you want me to go first, or you want to go? How you want to do this?
We could go award by award.
Okay, let's go. Let's start with sixth man of the year. I'm gonna give this one, man, to Jordan Clarkson of the Utah Jazz. He was hooping. I would have to argue that he's probably their fourth best player this year after Donovan and Gobert and Mike Conley. He's right under there, and he's really been help holding the fort since Donovan Mitchell's has been hurt, and that's something we need to watch out too because he hasn't played yet, and we haven't really heard anything about that. And they got a week till they play, so I'm giving it to Jordan Clarkson, LA club legend, by the way, as my nigga Pat likes call him, Julius Randle. Who else was there? They little crew, Larry Nance, the High Tribe. For those of you who don't know, High was a club out here in LA. Pat calls him the High Tribe, so shout out to OG High Tribe member and Jordan Clarkson. He's my sixth man of the year.
Yeah, no, I agree. As much as I wanted to try to get this award to D Rose because of his impact with the Knicks, like you mentioned earlier, like since he's come there, they've really taken off, you know, so that added aspect of it. But I think overall, when you look at the Utah Jazz, you know, it's crazy to say a number one seed is flown under the radar, but, you know, they don't really get talked about a lot. But Jordan Clarkson has definitely held it down as the number one sixth man all season. So, you know, he's averaging 18 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists off the bench, G. So
gotta give up them, Jordan.
Got
Clarkson,
to. Man. You gotta go Jordan Clarkson.
Next coach of the year, man. To me, this is a tough one. There's two main candidates. I really want to give it to Monty Williams. I really love what he did with the Suns this year. Just for them going from a team that didn't make the playoffs last year to being the number two seed, man, I got to give a lot of credit to him. And I got to give a lot of credit to Chris Paul for that. And because of that, I'm going to give the Tom Thibodeau. As bad as the Suns were last year, they were still in the bubble. The Knicks have been the laughingstock of the NBA at least the last, when it went, last 8 years? When it, when the last time they made the playoffs was 2013, right? With Melo and them. So, yeah, about the last 8 years, they've been a laughingstock from the Phil Jackson era to all these different goddamn coaches they had. You know, a Knicks legend like Charles Oakley getting kicked out the fucking garden. There's been so many negative stories about that franchise. And for them to be one of the most fun teams this year, to go from basically they were in the draft lottery last year. They got fucking home court in the first round. They won 40 games this year. I mean, I got to give the Tibbs. Now, I always say that Tibbs bill comes due. That Tibbs bill comes due sooner or later. But I got to give some 41 wins, 41-31 record, man. I got to give the Tom Thibodeau over, and he'll get his second Coach of the Year award, man.
You mentioned two people that were on my list, and Tibbs and Monty. But you got to go Quinn Snyder. You got to. Number one seed.
Give it to Quinn Snyder?
Got to. You got to. I mean, nobody saw the Jazz being the number one seed this year. And, you know, they don't have a clear-cut MVP candidate on their team. I know people are going to just say Donovan Mitchell based on, you know, his numbers, but he hasn't really been in the MVP talk all season. So I think, you know, when you look at the way they do it from a team standpoint on offense and defense, got to give a lot of that credit to the coach. So I'm going to go with Quinn Snyder for Coach of the Year.
Not mad at that one. Rookie of the Year, man, this is a difficult one for me. I'm going to pull a Grant Hill and Jason Kidd on y'all niggas. I think this needs to be a split award. I think LaMelo Ball should share this award with Anthony Edwards. LaMelo Ball missed a decent amount of time, and the Ant-Man was cooking, and he had a good year before Melo got hurt. So I think it's only fair that we share this award between us two. Now, if LaMelo wins it outright, not mad at it. I personally think Anthony Edwards is the future of the NBA. I think he's a superstar in the making. He's one of the best sound bites in the game, and he just absolutely hoops. Like I said last week on this podcast, they need to clear that whole fucking roster. Get rid of Cat, get rid of D-Lo, get rid of all them niggas, build around Anthony Edwards. So I think it's going to be split, LaMelo and the Ant-Man.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that, but I'm trying to pull up his numbers real quick. But I'm going to go with LaMelo Ball. His team, LaMelo Ball's team is in the playoffs. I agree, Anthony Edwards has been hooping. And, you know, Anthony Edwards is averaging 19 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. And I know they usually just, most years, they give rookie a year to whichever rookie scored the most points. And so, in this situation, you got a guy like Melo averaging 15 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. And like you said, he did miss some times, but, you know, he is back for this playoff run, even though that's irrelevant in terms of the voting. But I think when you look at everything he was doing before he got hurt, I think Melo's the clear-cut MVP, rookie of the year.
Okay. Defensive player of the year, man. To me, this one's kind of like a no-brainer, bro. I got to give it to Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons has playing lockdown defense all year. You know, Rudy Gobert's been good. Giannis was good, you know, the usual. But got to give it to Ben, man, especially a guy who's a non-big man. And I'm glad when non-big men win this award, because I kind of feel like it's bullshit. Like, one thing that annoys me about Defensive Player of the Year award, it's kind of like MVP in football. They always give it to a quarterback, which I think is bullshit. So, same thing with this, man. I like when non-big men win the Defensive Player of the Year award. So, I'm going to give it to Ben Simmons.
No, I agree with this one. Definitely got to go with Ben. Just his versatility, being able to guard 1 through 5, you know, actually locking up, you know, I got to go with Ben.
And our final award, man, I skipped one. I think this is an easy one, but most proved player, Julius Randle. I mean, it's nothing more to be said about that, man, the way he's a hooping. Julius Randle finally hooping like a top 2 draft pick.
Honorable mention, Christian Wood.
Honorable mention, Christian Wood before he got injured. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We could even kind of put Zach LaVine maybe in there. Zach kind of took that next leap this year as far as that in that conversation, but it's hands down Julius Randle, man. Shout out to him. He's been the whole moving force behind that Knick resurgence, man. But the MVP award, man, I think this is a interesting award this year, man. You know, it was a lot of conversation beginning of the year, you know, Embiid versus LeBron. Then Embiid got hurt. LeBron went on a little run by himself without Anthony Davis. Then LeBron got hurt. You know, some, you know, Jokic doing what he's doing. Some people bring a Dame up. Some people, you know, Russell Westbrook averaging triple double fourth year in a row. Some people said Steph Curry. I'm going to give this to Jokic, man. I was not a fan of this man 2 years ago. I feel like he hooped like every nigga at the YMCA. I did not think his game was aesthetically pleasing to watch. I have changed that. I am one of his biggest fans now. Jokic is a dog. And to me, he's just been the one force that's just been steady this entire year. And since Jamal Murray tore his ACL, they really haven't had any type of letdown since. They've been just as good. Now, they're definitely going to miss Jamal Murray in the playoffs, but that's a whole different discussion. I'm going to give it to Jokic, man. He's the MVP. I think that Embiid's injury hurt him a lot, and LeBron's injury took him completely out of the race. So I'm going to give it to Jokic.
Yeah, no, I can see that. I got no complaints with that if he does win it. But I've been on the Chris Paul for MVP train for the past month. And I think he definitely deserves MVP. You know, they finished with the second seed, 51 wins, which is – I don't have it on hand, but I'm sure it's been at least 10, 15 years since the Phoenix Suns won 51 games. Damn near probably since the Charles Barkley era. So, no, I take that back. Those Phoenix. Yeah, I'm about to say it's been 10 since they made the playoffs. Yeah. And this is how you know we getting old. How many years ago was the Steve Nash era?
That was
about 15?
10, 15 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, so I know
the last time they made it was the 2010. It was in Western Conference Finals against the Lakers.
Yeah.
And I always remember that because Kobe hit that game winner and slapped Alvin Gentry on the butt. Yeah. So I always remember that, man. So, yeah, I got to give it to
– I'm going with CP3, too.
I'm not mad at that. I'm kind of disappointed that CP3 hasn't been getting that much love in conversations. I mean, he took that team from bums to the number two seed. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm kind of disappointed that he's not really getting any love on that aspect. But, yeah, man, I don't think he's going to win it, though, but I'm not mad at that pick. Now we're going to go to our NBA first team. We're going to do NBA first team and all NBA first defense. We're not going to do second and third teams. Who really gives a shit after the first? I'm going to go with my five, man. Of course, these are just guards, forwards, and centers. You know, it's not by point guard, and got them type shit. So my two guards, Steph Curry, the scoring champion. He's on there. Russell Westbrook is my other guard, averaging triple-double. I got to throw him in there. My forwards are Giannis and Jokic, and my center is Joel Embiid.
Yeah, no, that's a pretty solid. I'm a damn. It's gonna be tough picking between. It was tough picking between Jokic and Embiid first team.
Well, they're both up for forward and center. By the way,
okay.
That's why I have them both in mind.
Okay, yeah, but see, I can't do two centers. That's ridiculous in my opinion.
Oh, you're an old school nigga. Huh?
Not even. It's just you know, it's so many good players out there that it's tough. You know, I will say this. You may have a situation where they both get it because AD missed so much time with injury.
Oh, AD's not even he missed three months. Yeah,
he missed like 3 months. LeBron missed so much time. You have so many guys who missed so much time. So, I mean, you definitely got to go with Giannis. You definitely got to go with Steph Curry from the guard spot. My second guard,
I really had to sit and think about it between Kyrie, Harden and Russ. Because by the way, Kyrie's ninth person in NBA history, 50-40-90.
Yeah, 50-40-90. That might put him on the top, G. He's played, I believe he's played the most games.
He's played 53 games this year. Played the most out of the big three.
Out of the big three. So, I'm going to go Steph and Kyrie at my guard spots. I got Giannis as one of my forwards. I'm going to go Jokic because, I mean, when you look at what the Nuggets have done with the injuries and everything, and just his production on the court this year has been ridiculous. And my fifth, I guess I am going to have to go with two centers, because you can't leave Embiid off that first team.
Yeah.
With the way he's carried the 76ers this year.
I like that list, man. This next one's a little tougher for me, man. I had to actually sit down and do my research on this because niggas don't really play defense in the NBA. But my list is Ben Simmons. I'm going to put Drew Holiday on there. I've got Giannis on there. I got Joel Embiid on there. And I got Rudy Gobert. That's my top five defense.
Let me see. Hold on, give me 1 second. I had the exact same five.
Okay.
Like you said, Ben really holding it down. Ben, Giannis, Drew Holiday, I think is probably one of the most underrated players in the NBA. But from the guard spot, he really locks it down. I think honorable mention for first team, a guy like PJ Tucker. I really like PJ Tucker.
I can tell you brought him up like three times.
You really do like PJ. PJ, because he's like a Swiss Army knife, you know. He's like, he's not as popular as Draymond, and he's not as good as Draymond. But
nah, I was about to say, let's not do that.
He's not as good as Draymond.
Yeah, I was like, where are you going with this?
He's in that mold, you know, a role player you would want in your squad. But no, yeah, that's dope. I agree with your five, G. I would say those are definitely the top five defensive players in the league this year.
Okay. We're going to go into the play-in predictions, man. Before we get into that and before I explain the play-in, because a lot of niggas don't know the rules of play-in, I had to break it down to my homegirl today like it was like basic fucking math. But before we get to that, this is the first full season with the play-in tournament. I personally think, now granted, I can't stand Adam Silver. I think this is one of the best moves Adam Silver's ever done. I think it eliminates as much as you can tanking. Because I think I hate watching tanking teams. It helps with the sitting games type thing. I mean, nigga, we just see the Lakers been in the fucking play-in. And it's the last 2 weeks of basketball. I mean, the best 2 weeks of the season, all these teams making sure they're not in the fucking play-in. We've seen some tough games. I mean, that game we had earlier this week against Phoenix and the Blazers, one of the best games of the year. And it's just keeping everybody on their toes. And just looking at these matchups we got, it's exciting. It's excitement, so I got to give it up to him. I think it's amazing, and I do think it's going to stay. I don't think this is going anywhere, man, so I got to give it to Adam Silver. Great, great invention. I love it. Let's stick with it.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. I think the only people that were bitching were the people who didn't have to play in it last year, and this year they got to play in it. So, I mean, I think from a fan standpoint, it's definitely something dope. And, you know, Adam, for people who don't pay attention to shit like this, Adam Silver, he always mentions – you know, the things that they do over in European soccer. And, you know, most Americans, you know, we get stuck in our bubble, but soccer is the largest sport in the world. And so another way for basketball to funnel fans in is to have things that are like similar to the format that they have in European soccer, the way, you know, they have different in-season tournaments and different cups and shields and things like that, just to keep people involved. And so I agree with you. I think the play-in tournament is dope. You know, it's an added opportunity, and I think it's definitely going to stay around.
Definitely, man. So let me explain the play-in tournament, people. So you've got four seeds in each conference, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Now, 7 and 8 technically have made the playoffs. 9 and 10 have missed the cut. So the winner of the 7 and 8 seed game, the winner that moves on, they're the seventh seed. They play the second seed in their conference. The loser of that game, since they made the top eight, they get another chance. They go on and they host the play-in game against the winner of the 9-10 seed. And that game is single elimination. The winner of that goes on the road to play the number one seed. The loser goes home. I hope this is crystal clear for everybody. So we have 8 teams here in the Eastern Conference. We've got the Boston Celtics going up against the Washington Wizards. We've got the Indiana Pacers going up against the Charlotte Hornets. In the West, you got the matchup that nobody saw coming. The defending NBA champion, Los Angeles Lakers, going against the number 8 seed Golden State Warriors. The number 9 seed Memphis Grizzlies going against the number 10 seed Spurs. By the way, the Lakers are trying to become the lowest seed in NBA history to win the NBA championship. The lowest seed before them was the 6 seed Houston Rockets in 1995. So, narrative. Oh, you already know. That's what the playoffs are. Narratives are here. The narrative has already got his little – the Nike is working on a commercial right now if the Lakers repeat. I just hope y'all are all aware of this. And even if they don't win – the excuses are coming, but whatever. Let's get into the Eastern Conference games, which kick off on Tuesday. The first game is the 9-10 seed game, your Charlotte Hornets versus the Indiana Pacers. Now, before we predict this game, hit us with your very insane take that you started our pre-show with.
For those that don't know, I told y'all before the year, Mike did his motherfucking thing, him and the general manager down there in Charlotte putting the team together this season. You know, I know they fell off a little bit toward the end, which is why they ended up in the playoff game. But I actually believe they fell into the perfect situation. And this is why I have predicted that the Charlotte Hornets are going to the Eastern Conference Finals. You heard it. The Charlotte Hornets are going to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay.
So to answer your question, that's who I got winning the 9-10 game.
Okay.
That's your next question.
I like the boldness. The Stugatz is heavy in you. The Stugatz is strong in you right now.
I'm just telling you, it's gonna happen, bro.
With that pick, Adam Silver will burn shit to the ground before he left.
Not really, G, because you gotta think the other side, all the other big teams that he really wants to see are on the other side of the bracket. So if you get Eastern Conference Finals with the Knicks versus the Hornets,
nobody wants to see that.
The Knicks, though, people, you know, y'all, I'm giving y'all what y'all want. Y'all claim y'all love the Knicks. The basketball's better when
I get Julius Randle versus LaMelo Ball, but chance to go to the NBA Finals.
Cooking.
NBA, MLB.
No, that'll be your exciting second round.
All right, man.
You're not gonna get that, bro. I'm telling you.
We're gonna keep updating on this every week on this podcast.
And they're gonna get smoked by Brooklyn.
We're gonna see where this prediction goes in the next couple weeks, man. So obviously you got Charlotte. I've got Charlotte too. In this game. Indiana don't have enough firepower. I don't even know if Sabonis and Miles Turner are gonna play this game. So I'm gonna give that to the Hornets, and that means the Pacers are going home because the Hornets are the ninth seed, and they will move on to the loser of this game. The big game on Tuesday, Wizards versus the Celtics. Now, I'll give you a little injury update here. Jaylen Brown, of course, out for the rest of the season. He will not be playing. Bradley Beal played today, but he didn't look good. That hamstring didn't look good. He only had 5 points. I don't know how much you can expect from him in this game, but Russell Westbrook is going to be on tilt. I think it's going to be a fun game. Remember my prediction at the beginning of the year? I had the Celtics in the NBA Finals. I was wrong as shit. This before the Nets got James Harden, by the way. This was our preseason pick.
He was still tweaking, but it's okay.
I overrated the Tristan Thompson signing. I feel like all this team needed was a center, and, you know, that didn't work well. But I think the Celtics are going to win this game. And then the Celtics will host the Hornets in the eighth seed game. The Wizards are hosting the Hornets in the eighth seed game. The Wizards host the Hornets in the eighth seed game. So then let's just predict that one right here. Wizards and Hornets.
I'm going with the Charlotte Hornets.
Well, of course we know. We know. You got to stick with your pick. We got to stick with your pick.
Yeah, dog. Without a doubt.
This is going to be – I'm going with the Wizards, man. I'm riding the hot hand. I'm riding with Russell Westbrook here. I think that the Wizards are going to win this game. I think it's going to be a very, very...
Hold on, wait. No, hold on. Not to cut you off. I'm on NBA.com right now, and I got the little bracket up, and it's showing, like, the way that it would go. If Washington beats Boston, then they automatically go to play Brooklyn.
Yeah, I know. Remember, I picked the Celtics to win.
Oh, you picking the? Oh, yeah, you're tweaking.
Yeah, I picked the Celtics to win now.
The Celtics are dead in the water.
I picked the Celtics
to win now. So our other matchup is different, but no, I got Washington going to play Brooklyn.
Okay, so you got Washington Brooklyn. Ooh, that would be a narrative game right there.
And that's what I'm saying, because I just want to see five games of Russell Wilson. I said Russell Wilson. Russell Westbrook trying to kill himself to make sure
Katie and Russ.
Yeah, bro, that shit.
I'm not KD and Harden. I pulled the same thing. Yeah.
So I want to see that matchup. So that's why I got that and Boston being so banged up. I really think they're gonna lose two and go home.
Yeah, I think Tatum and Russ gonna go at it though. I think Tatum and Russ, and I like the rest of Boston's team. Well, not like the rest of the Wizards team. So then that means I would have the Celtics playing the Nets. And then I would have the Wizards playing the Sixers in that round. So, and the winner, by the way, that second game will happen on Thursday. So let's move on to the Western Conference. The ninth seed game versus the 10th seed game will be in Memphis. Ja Morant and the Grizzlies will host the San Antonio Spurs. I think the Grizzlies are going to win this game. I'm not picking the Spurs whatsoever. And I honestly want the Spurs to get the fuck out of my life. I'm tired of these niggas being in the playoffs.
They like the Patriots, bro. Like, go the fuck away.
Yeah,
like,
the Patriots don't need, but even the Patriots ain't got Tom Brady no more. It's like, okay. Yeah, and they didn't make the playoffs.
You're like, get them out of here. It's okay.
Yeah, get them out of here. So I got the Grizzlies winning that one, and they're going to face the winner of, loser of Warriors Lakers. Now, before we get into this, nobody saw this coming to start this fucking season, man. Steph Curry won a scoring title today. Only the second oldest to do it. Him and Mike, only people winning past 33 and up past. The Lakers.
I'm shocked it only took you an hour to mention that, but yes.
We already know.
I expect you to open this bitch up, but did you see Steph today? Like,
I don't have to say much. The proof is in the pudding.
He did his thing, bro. He did his motherfucking thing.
39 wins.
Fourth oldest scoring champ ever.
Yeah, 39 wins with the Pips. Give it to him. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, he didn't get the 40, like I said, but 39, he made it.
He missed like 10 games, bro. He missed 10 games.
Because if they lose this game, I don't want to hear shit about nothing. Like,
okay. Oh, now here's another.
If they lose this game.
No.
Because my homie who a Warriors fan already hit me. Like, oh, you see them zooming in on LeBron ankle. They setting it up. So when we beat them, they go, here come the bullshit.
No, okay,
like,
here's the thing.
Cut it out, bro.
First of all, the Lakers are supposed to beat them. Let's not do that. Let's not act like this is a fair matchup.
Lord and Savior Stephen Curry scoring champion.
Okay.
Lakers banged up. It's gonna be a good game. First of all,
it's gonna be a good game. It's gonna be a very good game. I will say this: the Lakers are gonna win this game because the Lakers are the better team. But if the Warriors win this game, I am coming on this podcast next week with a fucking blowhorn. Okay, y'all better not let this nigga beat the defending champions by his damn self. That better not fucking happen.
I'm about to say this. He took 22 threes today. I bet you he takes 25.
Oh, in this nigga, game. Easy.
At minimum 25.
And we saw playoff Draymond today. Playoff Draymond is one of my favorite players. I think it's gonna be a great game. I gotta give it to Andrew Wiggins. I can't stand Andrew Wiggins. He had a solid season. They're getting some nice production from Jordan Poole. This is the game the Lakers supposed to win. And by the way, the pressure is all on the Lakers. You ain't supposed to be here. Defending champions, you're going to be at home. The Warriors ain't got shit to lose, bro. Because even if they lose, they get another opportunity. And they ain't got Klay. So I'm going to pick the Lakers because I have a basketball mind. My basketball mind is telling me Lakers are going to win this game. But if the Golden State Warriors win this game, I promise to God, y'all will never hit any of this shit. Y'all never hit, even if the Lakers win that second game and go to the playoffs anyway, y'all will never, ever hit the end of that shit from me. Ever. So just be aware of what might happen if that happens.
Oh, no,
so
this is Adam Silver's, this is
Adam Silver's wet dream right here.
It's like year two of the play-in and you get, this is clearly already the best play-in matchup we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Two former MVPs, two NBA champions, two legends, two transcendent players. Really fighting for their playoff life straight out the gate. So I love it.
I love it too. So we both got the Lakers winning?
Well, I tell you this, it depends on Bron's ankle. He did, I don't think it's as bad because he was on the sidelines laughing and shit. But
that ain't got shit to do with that bitch swelling up in the morning.
Exactly. That's a lot. It's a lot. He got to go home. I know he's going to get round the clock treatment and all that, but it really depends on how his ankle feels on Wednesday. So I'm going to.
You got to give a pick.
Like I said, Steph is going to go berserk. But I'm gonna go Lakers. That's still best defensive team best defensive team in the league. I think even if Steph gets his, the other players won't get theirs. Like, I don't know which Andrew Wiggins we're gonna get. Right. So I'm gonna go Lakers.
Okay, so that means the Lakers will go on to Phoenix, which would be an entertaining series. Yeah. And then the Warriors will host the play-in game against the Grizzlies. I think the Warriors beat the Grizzlies again, and they're gonna go on to Utah.
I agree.
So basically we got all that for the play-in, man. Those are our predictions. We're not going to – I'm going to give y'all a little tease. I'm going to give y'all a little piece of the remix as we'll look at the actual brackets that are actually set in stone right now. We're not going to preview them. If you want to hear our preview for those, matchups, patreon.com/barberschairnetwork. You go on there. There's a $5 summer sessions package, and it's a $10 barbershop all access. You take your little bean head ass and you click on the $10 all access so you can hear our predictions before the playoffs start all the way up into the NBA championship. Because I'm not tweeting my picks. You niggas ain't finna retweet me with my shit wrong. You got to come and check this shit out, man. So check that out for that. But here are the matchups that are set in stone. In the East, man, we've got Knicks, Hawks. That's going to be a very, very fun series. Knicks got home court advantage. The other series, we've got a rematch of last year. The Milwaukee Bucks and the Miami Heat. That's going to be a fun series. Out West, got another rematch from last year. Clippers at home hosting the Dallas Mavericks. And we got a very fun matchup also with the Denver Nuggets hosting the Portland Trail Blazers, man. So that's going to be fun. So like I said, subscribe, patreon.com/barbershop network. And before we wrap out of here, man, I want to get your quick take on our Chicago White Sox. How are you feeling with 24-15? We're up 3 in the loss column in the division. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. You know, we had a lot of, you know, fans concerned with depth, you know, before the season started. But I think if anything, we've shown you that we actually have a decent amount of depth on this team. Like you have enough quality talent to where you can plug in guys like Billy Hamilton, like Danny Mendick can actually hit his ass off.
Yeah, Danny Mendick needs to be hitting more than fucking Lourdes Garcia.
Yeah. Lourdes, you know, he's just a Ronsdorf favorite. I'm sure he'll have a job as a fucking double A coach or some shit when this is all over.
Right.
But I really like what I'm seeing. You know, like I wrote an article today on MLBBro.com. Shout out to Rob Parker.
Check that out.
Tell TA, bro. Like we've been saying for years, as he goes, we go. And yep. You know, since he started that comeback tonight. Ever since he's came back on Jackie Robinson Day, bro has been hoping. And so it's really amazing to see him. And the thing about Tim that I really like as somebody who played baseball is like, we need, you know, obviously he's not on the level of Ken Griffey, but we need that type of personality from our community to spark these former hoopers or these young kids who hoop and sit on the fucking bench to go pick up a baseball bat and go play baseball and see what you could do. Because a lot of people really, if you follow Tim a little bit, you know, bro played basketball.
Yeah.
And he got hurt and then he started playing baseball. And like, so the thing about him when the White Sox first called him up, it was just, oh, he got power. He has the tools, but is he going to put it together? But we've actually seen him put in the work and put it together. And like, even like this year, bro don't have no errors yet on defense.
Yeah. That's huge.
That nigga used to look like he was out there with two gloves on. Like he was out there terrible at short, but like he has no errors. He's really been in the lab, really perfecting his craft. And he has that passion to be great. And that rubs off on the rest of his teammates. And I know we always talk about Jose Abreu, you know, Lucas Giolito, and just a lot of talent we do got, but it all starts with Tim. So I'm excited, bro. I think, you know, at this point, we just need those who can come back, you know, those who are injured who can come back to come back. We talked about this off pod earlier, a couple of days ago. I definitely think they'll make a move around the deadline.
Yeah, I do too.
Maybe bring in another outfielder or something.
They need a vet right arm coming out the pen. I think Eloy's going to be back. I'm a little concerned about Luis because it's a hip injury and he plays center field. Yeah. So when he does come back, I need him to be 100%. Elo, you can side that nigga in DH. There's going to be an interesting conversation with him, Andrew Vaughn, and Yerm about playing time when Eloy comes back. Yeah. But that's a good problem to have.
Because you could flip somebody for something. Because, I mean, yeah. I love Yerm, but he's at the same time, he is 28 years old. So with what we got going on right now, him being this hot, I know he's a fan favorite. I know how we do in Chicago, but if you can get something back for him that we really need, that can help the team succeed, I wouldn't be mad at that.
Yeah, I could definitely see that in the offseason. I don't think he's going nowhere this year. I think
when Eloy comes, definitely.
I think Eloy comes back, you know, keep Andrew Vaughn in left field, put Eloy at DH, you know, because he's still coming off injury. And then Yermer be that powerful pinch hitter in the playoffs. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so, but that's a good problem to have, man. I'm excited. It's the first time I've had fun watching these niggas in a long time. If y'all want to hear our in-depth analysis on that, you can listen to a new episode of the 40-40 Club. It's out right now. And I'll have a new episode of my Patreon-exclusive White Sox podcast that's going to drop later this week after the Twins and Yankees series, so check that out. We're going to get out of here, man. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram, @BarbershopScott, @OctoberZoneTay. Follow the brand, the Barbers Chat Network, on Twitter and Instagram at Barbers Chat Net. Once again, patreon.com/Barbers Chat Network. Subscribe for the $10 package. Our playoff preview will be dropping Saturday morning before the playoff series kick off. Look out for that, and we're going to be with y'all every week going through this whole little playoff journey, man. It gets real now. We're going to be with y'all the next 2 months through July through the NBA Finals. So y'all stay up. Y'all have a good week. We out.